My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The price of Bitcoin is surging. It is on its way rapidly to scale to new all-time highs. But meanwhile, one of the largest assets in the world is bleeding. Are we witnessing a changing of the guard? We're going to dig into that. We're going to look at the trends. We're going to look at the data, and we'll discuss whether that is going to move. We're also going to look at a lot of other things. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show. We're always looking at the way the world is changing as we look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. I believe that we can get a different perspective on the world when we look at it from those three lenses, and specifically the convergence of those three. And Bitcoin really sits at the convergence of those three. It's groundbreaking revolutionary technology. Most people don't understand exactly what it is. They don't understand that it's actually a technological invention, a technological revolution that's happening here. It's not just some new computer code or some new database. So we have a technological revolution happening. At the same time, it's disrupting money or finance as we know it. And unfortunately, because finance is so political, it's disrupting the politics and the governments as we know it as well. But for now, the price of Bitcoin is surging. We have breached $50,000. I think we've breached $52,000. We're shy of the all-time high that was set back in November of 2021. That was at, $69,000, but we're not that far away. As a matter of fact, we are about 30% away, which if you're talking about, you know, traditional stocks, that's pretty far. But just from, from January of this year, I didn't pull this up, but from January of this year, I mean, we're already up 30%. So we've already made that much ground up in just a little over a month. So we could potentially make that ground up in another month from now. That's how the price of Bitcoin moves. And partly it's been driven by the ETFs. I've talked about this quite a bit. We launched all these new Bitcoin ETFs, and the amount of Bitcoin they're taking off the market is just unbelievable. And of course, supply and demand is driving the market. Now, what I'm talking about at the intro was that one of the oldest assets, or not one of, probably the oldest financial asset in the world, has been money for 5,000 years. I'm talking about gold, is seemingly bleeding. And what am I talking about? Well, gold is still under massive demand. The price of gold and silver have done very well. And we know that central banks are buying more gold than any time in history over the last several years. However, a lot of Americans and just people around the world in general own gold, not physically in their own control, in their sock drawer or in their safe or buried in the ground in the backyard, but through ETFs, exchange traded funds. And so there's many gold ETFs that have popped up, GLD being the biggest one of them, and their assets under management, how much money they manage, has been going down. So what we're seeing in real time is the price of Bitcoin is going through the roof, partly because of the amount of money that's flowing into it. And at the exact same time, money is coming out of gold. Now, gold has been the store of value. It's a place that you park your wealth to store it for future generations. And a lot of people say that Bitcoin is the new store of value. People say, well, it'll never be a medium of exchange. It is a good store of value. It'll never be a medium of exchange. And we can talk about that. It can eventually. But if it's already a store of value, then we can compare against other store of value assets. So Bitcoin is a store of value asset. Bonds are store of value assets. A lot of real estate, obviously not my personal residence, but even some of that. But a lot of real estate is a store of value asset, meaning I store my wealth in these places. I think of them as savings and not as investments. A lot of stocks are like that, although a lot of stocks are for trading and more speculative purposes. And what we can see, though, is that gold is attacking the, Bitcoin is attacking the gold store of value. And it is quickly catching up. As a matter of fact, Bitcoin just surpassed the $1 trillion in total asset size, and it's currently picking up. Now, what we can see is that, like I said, gold is bleeding. As a matter of fact, we have the SPDR gold shares has a year-to-date flow negative 2,500 shares. iShares Gold Trust is down. iShares Gold Trust Micro is down. VanEck Gold Miners down. They're all down. But at the same time, we have funds flowing into the Bitcoin Trust. So we have iShares Bitcoin Trust is up. All the ETF funds are up, and they're buying an incredible amount of Bitcoin. As a matter of fact, currently the ETF inflows are leading to a 2% increase in the price per day of Bitcoin. So it's adding about $1,000 per day to the price of Bitcoin. And that's being done because of the supply and demand. The ETFs are taking so much Bitcoin off the market. Right now, the inflows, the amount of money and Bitcoin coming into these funds is about 10 to 12 times higher than the new Bitcoin being created. Now, some people might argue this is a little bit simplistic, but I like to understand things from a simplistic level, and that is supply and demand. When there's more demand, then there is supply, prices go up. Now, there's lots of things that would affect both the supply and the demand, but it does get down that simple. And what we know is that there is new Bitcoin being created every day, every block, every 10 minutes, there's a block. And in every block, there's Bitcoin that get released, and that equates to 900 per day. But that's the new Bitcoin being created. Now, there's obviously existing Bitcoin. There's 19 million Bitcoin or 20 million Bitcoin, roughly that. There will never be more than 21 million, but right now there's about 19-ish, 20 million-ish floating around. But most of that is locked up in long-term storage. Now, it could come off the market and be sold at a certain price, sure. So that could be recirculated. But like any new asset, like oil, like a commodity asset like oil or like gold, there's new supply, what we call flow, being added to the existing stock. It's a stock-to-flow ratio. All right, so we can see the amount of the new flow of oil, the new flow of gold, and we can see the new flow of Bitcoin. And what we can see is that there's about 900 Bitcoin per day being added, but the ETFs are buying about 9,000 to 10,000 per day. So 10 to 12 times the demand of the newly created supply. All right, and so this starts to lead to FOMO. Now, what do I mean by that? This is it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, if you will. As Bitcoin goes up faster, more people hear about it and want to get in. I don't want to be left behind. I'm going to buy some more, which then pushes the price up higher, which then means more people hear about it and they want to get in, which then pushes the price up even higher. And then it starts happening in the ETFs in the financial space. So what happens is then this financial advisor that puts it in his portfolio starts outperforming everybody else. So everybody else says, well, shoot, then I should put it into my portfolio. And then they start outperforming. And then, well, I need to keep up, so I'll put it in. And then as they put it in, the price goes up, and then more people jump in and the price goes up. And it starts to be this self-perpetuating, self-fulfilling cycle, if you will. Then we add in some events, such as in the next couple of months, we have the supply will be cut in half from 900 Bitcoin per day to 450 new coins per day, which all things being the same, if the demand stays the same, what happens, and you cut the supply in half, what happens to the price? You don't have to guess. So what does that mean? Well, we know that that puts upward pressure on the price. That's exactly what we're seeing. Where could it go? Well, we know the previous high was 69,000, and typically you'll take out the previous high. Maybe that could happen before the halving in the next 90 days or so. Could we get to 100,000 in the next couple of months? Maybe. We don't really know where it can go. I don't have a crystal ball. I wish I could tell you, but we know that it's going up. Now, part of the reason why it's going up is because of the supply-demand imbalance that I'm talking about. The other metric, the other thing that we're watching is also the demand coming from the use case of it. And so what do I mean by that? There's a lot of problems, and solutions are supposed to come to problems. A lot of people may argue, not intelligently, but that Bitcoin doesn't have any use cases, but it does. It has lots of use cases. It gives me a way to store my wealth in a way that can't be debased and printed. So when they're printing endless amounts of money, I want something. So every time they print more money, it sort of like creates the poster child or the use case of why I should own Bitcoin. Every time a government tries to become more authoritarian and censor one of my transactions, tell me what I can and can't spend money on, it sort of makes me want to find an alternative like Bitcoin that's censorship resistant. And so while we have the supply demand metric that's being driven by what we call NGU or number go up technology, we say that in a joking way. At the end of the day, there's real utility that will start catching up, that is catching up as governments continue to print more money, as governments continue to get more authoritarian. And it's all happening right at the time the government's about to print money and we're going into a halving cycle. You better buckle up. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show, running through some of the latest breaking news this week as we look at the world through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. I'll be back with more in a minute. You don't want to miss it. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back. If you just tune in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. And we're going to talk about something a little bit different than I normally talk about, because it's something that I've been getting over and over and over across my social media platforms of people asking me these types of questions. And we typically talk about the world through the lens of politics, finance, and technology, and trying to understand the world from this frame of lens. And for me specifically, it's so that I can improve my life. I can further myself in towards my goals that I have for myself and for my family and so forth. And so I want to understand what's going on with the politicians and what's going on with the financial system and what's going on with new technology breakthroughs so I can use those things to front run the moves. Ultimately, again, so I can further the quality of my life, so I can further my life, so I can have success in my life. And I've been talking about these subjects specifically a lot more recently, smaller short form content on my social media, which if you're not following me, hit me up at onemarkmoss. Just go to my website, onemarkmoss.com, onemarkmoss.com. That's the number one. I have everything linked there. But I've been putting a lot of content on Instagram lately, doing daily lives over there every day in the morning. Hit me up on those. It's just at Mark Moss there. And I've been getting a lot of questions as we talk about navigating what's going on with the Fed, sort of the daily play-by-play of what are they doing with the interest rates and what's going on with the credit card cycles and the money in the bank and all these different things. How can we navigate all this? And the one thing that kind of keeps coming up over and over and over is how can we have more success by using these tools? And I started thinking about this as I've been answering these people, and a couple things came up, and there's five things that I want to run you through. And it's how we can have more success, how we can improve their quality of life. But we have to understand, first of all, that success isn't guaranteed. There's no guarantee of success. Some people have success, some people don't. And oftentimes, the difference of those who have success and those who don't is very small. It's very minimal. But we know it's not guaranteed. Now, I like to say that success doesn't care. Success doesn't care about anything except for one thing. There's one thing success cares about. Success doesn't care how old you are. It doesn't care if you're at the end of your career, you're 60 or 70. It doesn't care if you're too young, you're 18 or 19. It doesn't care if you're 15 or 60. It doesn't care. Success doesn't care if you're tired or if you're hungry. Success doesn't care if you're stressed out. Success doesn't care if you're depressed. It doesn't care about any of that. Success doesn't care if your dog died, if your girlfriend broke up with you, if your car broke down. Success doesn't care about any of that. Success is ruthless. Success cares about one thing. The one thing is results. That's all. Do the work. Did you do the work to achieve the results? And that's it. Success is a meritocracy. If I did the work, I get the results, and that's it. So regardless of if you're depressed, if you're hungry, if you're tired, or if your dog died or your girlfriend broke up with you, regardless of any of that or how old you are, if you do the work, then you should be able to get the outcome. And so we'll break down five things that I want to talk about specifically in order to guarantee that you can do this. The one thing, guarantee this. And so I want to break these down. The first one is doing the work, right? So I already talked about that. And really, ultimately, what it comes down to is the commitment to doing the work, a commitment to trying to do the work. Because again, success isn't guaranteed, but the guarantee lies in the outcome of not trying. So a lot of times what we want to do is we want to do like inversion thinking. What's the opposite? Typically when I want to set a goal, I think about what are all the things I have to do in order to achieve the goal? Another way to think about it is what are all the things I'm going to have to give up to achieve the goal? That's an inversion thinking. And so we can also think about success sort of the same way. Success is not guaranteed. So should I try? What if I fail? But what we do know is there is a guarantee in not trying at all. So if I'm faced with either one, guaranteed failure or maybe success, why not take the maybe success? So that's the first thing. We always have to commit to trying. Now, a lot of people, this is a question I've been asked a couple of times this week on my Instagram live streams, again, at Mark Moss, hit me up there, have been asked about, Mark, but how do you deal with analysis paralysis? I'm not sure what I should be doing. I'm afraid I may fail. I'm afraid that I don't take the right action. I'm afraid that this might not take me to my goal. And so this is a big piece of it. So I need to be committed to action. I have to be committed to trying to advance myself towards success. But if I'm stuck in this analysis paralysis, what do I do? And I'd say, one, understanding that if I don't do anything, I'm guaranteed failure. So why not take the chance of failure? But another part comes in where people can't decide which course of action to take. I don't know. I have these three opportunities. Should I go into doing rental real estate, or should I start selling products on eBay, or should I do dropship e-commerce, or should I start a social media marketing agency? Like, any of those could be good. But which one do I choose? Which one do I choose? I'm stuck. I'm analysis paralysis. I'm analyzing them too deeply. Well, part of that is that I like to say that action leads to clarity. You see, you're never going to know until you start taking action. I use this analogy quite a bit. If I was walking through the forest and I came to a fork in the road and there was two paths and I'm like, oh, was it left or right? Left or right? I forget, left or right. I could be there till all of eternity thinking left or right and still not know the answer. The only way I'm ever going to know is I'm going to start down one path. And after I start walking down the path, that action will lead to clarity. Oh, shoot, this isn't the right one. I don't remember this. This is the wrong one. I need to go to the other path. Or this is the right one. I keep going. But it was only by taking action did I get clarity towards that. And so a lot of us are stuck with this analysis paralysis. And the goal or the key is that we must be taking action if we want to get the clarity of how to move forward. The action is what will lead to that clarity. Now, also part of it, Alex Hormozi, if you're not following him, you should. He's definitely worth a follow. I saw him tweet out this week. He said that people don't find their passion. They build it. And I find a lot of people that I've coached, younger people specifically, they all think they have to go find their passion, but there is no finding your passion. What it is defining and optimizing your passion over time because you have a passion for skills that you've been able to build up and develop. I love surfing. I have a passion for surfing, but I've only got the passion for surfing because I've been surfing. I had to start surfing before, and then I had to get good at surfing before I developed a passion for surfing. Most people try it one time and they hate it. It's like the hardest work that, you know, whatever. And so it's like, you have to try things. You have to do things. You have to achieve some level of success and build some skill doing those things. And then you get the passion for it. And so like I use this analogy, let's say that, I see my friend has a catering business. Oh, let me start working with you. And I find out when I'm working at the catering business, man, I really don't like the cooking part at all, but like setting up the events and stuff was pretty fun. So I decide, you know what? Let me move over. Let me change what I'm doing. I want to start running events more. And then I start doing more events, less cooking. And then I start like, man, I really hate like loading in all the chairs and tables and setting up. What I really liked is more designing the events. So then I sort of move over into more of designing. And then I figure, well, it's not just the designing part. It's actually like dealing with the customers. So then I move more into like sales and marketing on that. And over time, by learning what I do like and don't like, I do more of what I do like and less of what I don't like, and I can develop and I can start to find that passion through there. All right, that's one. There's three more pieces that I want to hit that can help you guarantee success. Now we know, like I said, success isn't always guaranteed, but the opposite of that, failure is guaranteed, right? If you do nothing, it's guaranteed. And like I said, this is a response to a bunch of questions that I've had. It's a little bit off topic for what I normally talk about, but I wanted to bring this to you today because I think it's massive value for you as we discern through all this information on markets, technology, and politics. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show. I'll be back with more after a very short break. You don't want to miss it. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. If you just tune in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show, and we're talking about the only guarantee to success is that you won't achieve it if you do nothing. And so the key is that the opposite is you have to do something. Even though there might be a chance of failure, it's better than the guaranteed failure of doing nothing. We talked about that. Now, the second part about this is I was talking about sort of finding your way, and it's learning through mistakes. I tried these things. I found out I liked these, but I didn't like these. Or I found out this didn't work, so let me try something else different. Yeah, right now today, AI, artificial intelligence, is all the rage. If you think about the way AI works, is it's like trying to solve a task, and it tries over, fail. Okay, finally passes, goes to the next step. And then it tries, fails, finally makes it, goes to the next step. And it's able to do that very, very quickly. But it has to go through all the failures, it has to go through all the attempts and tries before it finds the one that actually works. And so we need to learn through our mistakes. You've probably seen the meme card or the quote card with the lion on it. I never lose. I either win or I learn. And so we either get it our first try, which typically doesn't happen, or we do through a series of trial and error and continue to tweak and re-optimize until we get that success that we need. So we have to understand that we learn from our mistakes. We have to understand that it's inevitable that we're going to make mistakes when we're executing on these plans. But we also have to understand that every time we fail, it's an opportunity for gathering new skills, honing new skills, improving what we have. I like to think of problems are not there. They're not there to us. They're there for us. And so what do I mean by that? Like, we can think of like every time we see a problem as like, oh my gosh, why does this bad stuff always happen to me? I can't believe I have to deal with this again. We look at that problem as something happening to us as opposed to being there something for there, there for us. So like, wow, now I get to learn a new skill. Now I get to try something I've never tried before. And so we could look at it a different way. Most of you guys probably know I talk about quite a bit. I ride dirt bikes. I go up racing dirt bikes, and I still ride a lot of off-road. And when we're riding our dirt bikes off-road, somebody who maybe hasn't ridden dirt bikes before would be on this road and go, man, why is this so rough? I can't believe all these bumps in the road. This is horrible. But for me, because I'm advanced, I look at those bumps and go, oh, I'm going to jump this one. I'm going to hit that one. I'm going to jump over to there. And those bumps are there for me to have fun with, as opposed to a beginner would look at them as torture. Does that make sense? And so we want to learn through our mistakes. A quote I like to say is that a smooth seas never made a skilled sailor, right? So success is a horrible teacher. We learn from our mistakes because it makes us try new things. And so we have to understand that. We have to understand that we're going to make mistakes. This is what holds people back, is they're afraid of making mistakes. We have to understand that we are going to make mistakes. That's the key. They're there for us to learn, and that it's through continuous effort and learning from these mistakes over time that continue to lead to better and better results. Again, success is a horrible teacher, because if I were to just get it right the first time, then I might just go, oh, okay, well, it's good enough. I'll move on to the next thing without ever really taking the time to hone it in. Could it be better? Again, continuous effort, continuous learning. Could I continue to tweak it? Could I continue to make it better and better and better? And so that's what leads to better results all the time. Now, another key would be the value of self-assessment. This is a very key piece. Human beings are unique from animals in many different ways, one of which is that we can lie to ourselves, and we do all the time. We lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves that things are better than they are. A lot of times some people tell yourself that it's worse than you are. But we can lie to ourselves. We can let ourselves down. And we can also selectively listen and avoid harsh realities. Ayn Rand, the author of Atlas Shrugged, says that we can choose to ignore reality, but we can't ignore the consequences of reality. I like to say that an ostrich can bury its head in the sand, but it can't keep it from being eaten. And so a lot of times, and I'm guilty of this myself, I don't want to look at things that I know are a problem, I know are bad. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to face it. I just want to just ignore it and pretend it's not there, and maybe it'll go away. But the truth is, it doesn't go away, and it only gets worse the longer we leave it there. And also, not looking at ourselves truthfully would lead to the same thing. And so the importance of a self-assessment and an honest evaluation of our performance. So when I'm coaching people through building their financial life, and their business, the first thing that we do is we take an assessment, and we take a very honest assessment, and we look at things that most people don't want to look at. How much savings do you have? How much are you spending? Do you have a plan for how you spend your money, or you just spend whatever you have? Do you have multiple bank accounts? What are your investments like? Let's dig in, and do you understand what they are, and all these things. And a lot of times people don't know this information, and they don't even want to get it because they just, oh, as long as money keeps coming in and my bills keep getting paid, then I'm fine. It's kind of like, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, and I had, had some pretty bad cars when I turned 16 and 17, 18. I had some pretty bad cars, and I had this old Volkswagen Bug, and the thing was a pretty big piece of junk, and it would make all kinds of noises, and I put like this really loud stereo in it, and I remember I would just turn the stereo up, and I was like, as long as the car just keeps going forward, I'm okay. I didn't want to hear any of the noises that could potentially be causing it to break down. I just wanted to tune that out, listen to the music, and as long as the car kept going forward, we were okay. But a lot of us approach our lives, and back to the kind of money, we approach our business and investments sort of the same way. Well, as long as money keeps coming in and paying the bills, I guess I'm okay, without taking the honest self-assessment and really asking ourselves the tough questions. Now, the importance of doing this is massive for lots of reasons, one of which is that we need to be honest with ourselves where we're at so that we can grow, but we also want to be honest with ourselves so we can start to identify, like, what are our strengths and weaknesses? Let me do more of what I'm good at, maybe do less of what I'm bad at, and only, you can only find that through that self-assessment. There's only, the only way we can personally grow is to find those areas that we need improvement and then measure that change throughout time. Now, a lot of us, in order to do that, we need to improve our communication skills, our leadership skills, and things like that. We'll get to that in a minute. But at some point, we have to sort of be our own coach. We have to sort of guide ourselves. And so we need that. Now, back to the community skills, I think about like culture. And unfortunately, modern culture today seems to have sort of this bipolar, this is our third point, sort of has this bipolar view on work, views towards work. You have one group of people, I addressed this on one of my Instagram lives the other day, that really talk about this hustle culture. And it's really sort of pioneered by Gary Vee. Shout out to Gary Vaynerchuk. You know, I grind, grind, grind. No one's going to work harder than me. I work at nights. I work on weekends. You see lots of people on Instagram talking about this all the time. I don't take a break. I'm traveling, but I keep the same routine. You know, you're out on the weekends partying. I'm in the office working. I'm going to outwork you. Right. So we see that. This is the hustle culture. On the other side, we have a whole culture on the other side that don't value hard work. And they just want to work their minimum wage jobs, and they want to complain that they can't afford to have the life that they want. And so we sort of have this bifurcation, if you will. And it highlights the difference in the viewpoints, and neither of those extremes are correct, in my opinion. In the Instagram live stream I did the other day, I broke down why I think the hustle culture is partly right and partly wrong, because there's times to hustle and grind that hard, and there's also times to take a break. But specifically, the point that I want to hit here is like who you're aligning yourself with in order to help you through this. And so if I was hypothetically, I'm certainly not, if I was training for a triathlon, I would want to be hanging out with people that are training for triathlons, because if I'm hanging out with them, I'm probably going to be running with them and riding bikes with them and swimming with them. If I'm hanging out with people that just sit at their mom's house and watch Netflix and chill, then I'm probably going to be Netflix and chilling. And so we need to be around other people who have similar goals and are working towards those similar goals so we can draft off of each other. We need to be advocates for hard work and persistence, and for results-oriented orientation. And we need to be working with other people. We need to be around, we need friends with, and hang out with other people that share those same ideologies. All right, now while we're talking about success, one of the keys to success is making sure we have enough money to have the freedom in our lifestyle. That's what gives us the safety net to go and try new things. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. I'm gonna take a very quick break, and I'll be back to bring all this together. So don't go away, I'll be right back.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show, and we're talking about, oh boy, how to have success in today's world. Especially, we are talking about how we have two different viewpoints. The world has really become bifurcated. We have the hustle culture and we have the, we'll call it the lazy culture on the other side. We are talking through five key points of how you can guarantee success. And the opposite is guaranteeing failure if you do nothing. I'm not going to run back through all four, but we are on number five. If you've missed any of the four, no worries. I got you back. You can check it out on the podcast. Just search The Mark Moss Show on your favorite podcast player. Or you could watch this and listen at the same time if you go to YouTube and search Market Disruptors, and you can watch it over there. All right. Now, I want to get into point number five. And this is, I hate to say it's the most important. They're all important. But this is organizational culture and leadership. And this sort of ties into what I was saying on the last point, which is we need to build a positive organizational culture, a team, or a community. Now, this means different things to different people in different stages of your life. So for example, maybe you don't own a business. Like if you own a business, then of course this means something different to you. If you're a manager, it means something different to you. If you're an employee, it means something different to you. And so around all levels, let's just say that it's not what you're doing, it's who you're doing it with. And so you wanna have the right team. As an investor, and like through my fund and through my venture capital deals that we invest into, a lot of times we're betting on the actual person themselves and not the idea. If you watch the Shark Tank, when my daughters were young, we used to watch it all the time and we would kind of hit pause and we'd try to guess what they're doing here. But you would notice in the Shark Tank, many times I saw this where the sharks would say, you know what, I just want to invest into you. I know we'll find something to do together. And they would recognize that the person that was there was like a leader. And so they'd want to invest into them. And so you want to invest into the right team and you need to have the right team around you. Now, again, how do we apply this if we're just an employee? Well, it's more about it's your partner. So it's, you know, your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. And it's also the friends that you're around. So I talked about the some of the five people that you hang out with in the previous segment. We talked about if you're training for a triathlon, you probably want to hang out with people that are training for triathlons, right? This really struck me for the first time in my own life experience when in 2021, we moved over to Puerto Rico and I had never moved before. And so I had never gone through the process of like, how do you meet new people? And like, how do you establish new relationships and all this stuff? And it was tough. I had never done it before. So I had to learn something new. And it was during the pandemic. So you couldn't really go out and socialize, which made it even harder. The local language there is Spanish, which makes it even harder. So lots of challenges there. And it took a while. But once it clicked and once I had made some new friends, towards the end, before we moved away from there, we liked it. I'm not going to get into all that. But I didn't want to leave because of the friends that I had made. And the friends that I had made were different than the friends that I had back at home. But friends I had back at home are like friends that I had known forever, where the friends that I had made over there were for where I was at a particular point in my life. And they fit me better. You see, unfortunately for us, most of our friends unintentionally hold us back because they want us to be the same person they've always loved. But our goal, as we've talked about through these five levels of success, is to always be learning, always be growing, always be changing. And so because of that, my goals should be continuing to expand. I have to become somebody different to achieve something different. So I have to continue to up-level my skill set. I have to continue to up-level my activities and in order for me to go somewhere else. But the problem with that is that goes direct contrast to my friends who want me to be the same person they've always known. You understand? And so I didn't actually understand this until I lived it. Part of it also is over the last several years, I've done lots and lots of speaking. I'm typically on the road like once a month going to another event to speak at. And that's also another way I've seen it where I really have made a big network of other speakers and other, you know, whatever, online educators, things like that. And being around that group of people makes it very difficult for me to come back home and talk to my old friends and talk about the barbecue on Saturday and, you know, what are we going to do? Go to the beach on Sunday or something like that, right? And it's just like, it's a completely different level of conversation. And so we need to do this at all levels. Now, if I'm a business owner or a manager, I need to find the right people, the team. I need to build the right team. If I'm just an employee, it's about the support team I have around me. So my friends and my colleagues outside of my work event. So how can you do that? Well, you could go to local meetups. There's meetups for everything that you want, whether these small business meetups. I mean, obviously there's Bitcoin meetups that we have, and you can find that. But the goal is to have a team of people that are committed and that are skilled and are aligned with, you know, either your company's goals or your goals specifically. Now, one of the ways that we've done this, once I realized how big of a problem this was for me, I've created a community. I call it my Market Disruptors Advisors community. And I'm basically bringing together people like you and I, people that are understanding the risks and dangers that are in the world, that are actively working to make our lives better and improve them, and bringing together a group, this group together to receive training and access to my expert advisors so we can all learn and grow together, a community of people. If you want to check that out, you can go to just go.onemarkmoss.com/advisors. Again, that's go.onemarkmoss.com/advisors. And in there, again, we're all working together towards a common goal. Every month, I break down an idea, a new idea to make seven figures. So whether this is like starting a new business or a new side hustle, something that you can do for passive income, side income, whatever, we discuss that. Some people work on it. Some people partner together to work on it together. We discuss investment opportunities. We discuss the markets. We discuss like how to protect our assets, how to reduce our taxes, all of those things. And so as we're learning this education, as I bring in experts that you get to work with, but then you have the community around you that are all working on that. Again, that's go.onemarkmoss.com/advisors if you want more. But don't underestimate the power of this. I talk about it from three levels. You see, most people think about it takes money to make money. And some people, a lot of people, unfortunately, these days are victims. There's nothing I can do that's going to matter. Nothing I can do to get ahead. The governments are just going to keep stealing from us from inflation. The governments are just going to continue to take more and more of our freedom away. Inflation is stealing my purchasing power. I'll never be able to buy a home, and on and on and on. Fill in the blank. And a lot of times they think that because they don't have any money, they can't make any money. And only the rich get richer, and I just fall farther behind. But that's not the truth. So actually there's three types of capital. So financial capital is what they're thinking about. I don't have the money. I don't have the finances. I don't have the financial capital in order to go make money. I don't have the money to go start a business. I don't have the money to go buy a piece of real estate or whatever it is. I don't have the financial capital. But there's two other types of capital. There's three total. There's two other types. And the financial capital is actually the least important of the three, and it's the hardest to get. So most people focus on the hardest one. That's the least important. The two other types of capital are, one, mental capital, skills. Do I have the skills and experiences to do something? If I had the money to go buy a business or start a business, do I even have the mental capacity, the mental skills to even make the business successful? if I was presented with an opportunity to build a hotel or revamp a whatever, like, do I have the mental capital, the skills to do that? And then the third type of capital is relationship capital. Do I know the people that are doing these things that can bring these deals to me? When I look back through my whole career, all of my success has pretty much come from somebody I know. I met this person that gave me this idea. Oh, I joined in this partnership opportunity. We started this company together. And it always came from a relationship that I had. When I went broke in 2008 after, you know, multiple exits and tens of millions of dollars of real estate, and I had to start over, I didn't have the financial capital, but I still had the mental capital and I still had my relationships. And leveraging those two with no money, I was able to build an eight-figure portfolio back in record time. And so focus, yes, on the money, but focus on the relationship capital and focus on the mental capital. How can you do that? Well, you're focused on the mental capital by listening to me. You can continue to read books, continue to listen to podcasts just like you're doing now. And for relationship capital, join some local networking groups, travel to some events, join some communities like I started, my markmoss.com/advisors, go.onemarkmoss.com/advisors. But whatever you do, pour into those will pay more dividends and lead to your role and success. Don't be afraid to start. Action leads to clarity. Don't be afraid to fail. Failure leads to success. And just keep going. Hopefully this makes sense. Let me know what you think. Hit me up on social media, One Mark Moss. And with that, I'm going to sign it off. To your success. I'm out.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Badatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.